Hey Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy. Hey, that's where are you transmitting from there? That's not the normal. I don't see your sword in the back. Your
Yeah, where's my
your
oh shit.
bookcase of holding.
How to get here?
I don't know.
I'm in the dirty D. I'm in Detroit Rock City, which
Oh.
is kind of apropos considering our guest tonight.
Oh.
But before we meet our guest, we normally do a word game. And everybody, I apologize for my sound quality. I apologize for any camera quality. If I wind up cutting out, Mike has to take over and I have to jump back in or something. Apologize for that too.
Oh, so do
I
I.
am,
So do I.
yeah, I'm right now on LTE connection because I'm in a hotel room and my Wi-Fi here is so crappy that I'm doing this from the phone this time. So hey, wait a minute, should I do the thing? Like,
No,
hey, I'm in my truck. No.
don't, no truck, no truck.
Right. So we normally do the word of the day. I'm gonna do something a little different.
Oh, okay. All right, all right.
All right, yep, this is a good one. So all the kids and all the kids and their slang these
All
days.
yes, all the things they're shelving and all that stuff. Yeah,
Yeah,
we're learning
all
all
right.
kinds of
So
words. Yep.
this is gonna be to see how old you is, Mike. How much you've been keeping up. All right,
Oh.
I'm gonna name some words, and then I want you to try and see. Now, these are all ones that all the kids are speaking nowadays. They're not off the wall or anything like that. They are very used words in that you might hear in a high school right now. Okay?
Very cromulent words used by youngsters. Gotcha. All right, I'm
Yes. All
ready.
right,
I'm ready. Go
you
for it.
ready?
I'm ready.
All right, your first word is turnt.
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 Turnt. Like I turnt in my homework.
No.
Turnt. That turnt what I thought it was.
No,
I
not
don't.
like I'm turnt. Yo, I'm really turnt tonight. I'm
Oh,
turnt up.
is that kind of like being salty, or is that just turnt as in like your siced? Is turnt the new siced or the
Yes.
old
Yes. Yes,
siced?
it is.
Okay, gotcha.
Meaning
All right.
excessively hype or excited.
We older folks used to say, well, actually in my 30s people used to say siced, so now I know I need to say turnt in my
Turnt.
40s.
I'm
Gotcha. All right,
turnt.
I'm
All right.
turnt. Okay.
On fleek. Micah, is you on fleek?
I wouldn't even know if I was on fleek if it bit me on the
Yo,
nose.
I got some new glasses. Are they on fleek?
Are they on? Are they tight? Do they look good? Are they in style?
Yeah,
Fashionable?
yes, on point. It's
Right.
on fleek. That's what
On
I'm saying.
fleek.
This shirt's hot, man. It's on fleek.
On fleek. I gotta
On
write this shit
fleek.
down, man. Fleek.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
All right.
surprise the hell out of my kids. All right. Fleek and turnt.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. Next.
Ghosting.
Ghosting.
Ghosting. I was with this
Oh.
girl,
Oh no.
but
See,
I'm gonna be ghosting now.
oh, 'cause I'm leaving. I'm gone. I ain't have nothing more to do with her.
Ending a relationship,
That's right.
however,
I'm a
is by
ghoster.
simply ignoring the person entirely. Like a ghost. Ooh, I'm
Right.
ghosting.
Don't answer the
Right.
calls, no texts is like you did. Gotcha. I knew that one. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right.
Next.
Ready? Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
That's what you would say when you was getting ready to ghost somebody named
That's,
Felicia.
yeah, well, except if you was gonna
So
ghost,
it,
you wouldn't say anything.
yeah, okay. So
But,
that's when you go out with a bang. You say, "Bye, Felicia."
right, it's kind of like talk to the hand. It's a way to dismiss someone.
Oh,
Originally
okay.
from the
All right, all right.
1995 Ice Cube movie Friday. All right, we're gonna
Okay.
do one last one. There's
All
a whole
right,
bunch
all
of them. We're gonna
right.
do one last one.
Okay, all right.
All right, this one. Should I do one that I know you're gonna know or a different one?
Oh no, I want it to be hard. Give me the hardest one you got.
Okay.
Bring it.
Hardest one I got.
'Cause I'm feeling turnt. Come on.
Something that's all right. Swerve.
Swerve. Is
You're
it
gonna
different
swerve
than
someone.
getting
It's
your
you would
oh.
swerve a person.
Swerve. A person? Can you give me a hint? Would it be more like a swerve on a girl? Like am I
No.
swerve on a no? Swerve. Oh,
Could be
then
girl or guy, could be anyone.
then you're
Could
avoiding
be your
them.
mom. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. It's another way to dismiss someone, as in, I don't have time to hear about your brother-in-law's startup that needs funding. Swerve.
Wow. All right. On that note, I'm going to start. I'm a turned up this show.
All right. Turned it up. All right. Coming from the dark alleys to protect young and innocent people, picking up needles and putting them in trash bags, feeding the homeless, and wearing really cool outfits, it's time for the Mythwits, the show dedicated to all things geek pop culture, drenched in absurdity and coated with sarcasm. Every week, we bring you the news and interviews from the Geekiverse. We tried our damnedest to be funny, but there are no guarantees. I'm your host, Peter Bryant. Joining me this week from across the land is Michael Capus.
Swerve.
And our guest, Rock and Roll, or as we're going to call her tonight, Rock.
Welcome and I got to get it out of the way right now. I do smell what the Rock is cooking.
All right.
It's gone. Look, it was going to come out eventually. I knew it was going to come out, so I just let's get it out of the way now. All right.
Coming out like a steaming turd. All right, so Roxanne, a.k.a. Rock and Roll, is a member of The Initiative, a group of real-life superheroes featured on the HBO documentary Superheroes, oddly enough. The Initiative is an international grassroots group of everyday Joes and, I guess, Joannes, or Roxannes, who are trying to change the world one good deed at a time. Roxanne is also the co-host of Heroes 101 Radio, co-founder of the California branch of the Initiative, and founder of Superheroines Initiative for Women. Roxanne teaches self-defense classes, coordinates homeless outreach events, has picked up over 7,000 used needles, and provides evening safety patrols with her team. She is currently finishing her second book, Origin Story, How to Be a Real-Life Superhero in 12 Steps, coming out this month. That's a different kind of 12-step program. Roxanne, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So James had referred you to us, James Carpio. Are you guys buddies? Are you? He's from the San Fran area.
Yeah, actually, he's I believe it's his cousin that that referred him to us, and then from him to you. So
I see. Okay, very cool.
Small
very
world cool. after all. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's. I'll have to admit, I misunderstood. So when he was first talking to us about this, Mike, what did I think? I thought for some reason, I don't know why, but I was like, I don't know, it's some cosplaying band group that I don't, you know, and I'm like, and then I started looking at it, so I was like, oh shit, I'm so dumb. No, it's right, okay. So then I got really excited because this is way more cool than that. So tell us, so you belong to a group called The Initiative, and you formed your branch. What exactly is The Initiative?
The Initiative started off with four people who moved to New York for the sole purpose of trying to do something. I mean, they actually saw themselves as, I want to call them low-budget Avengers. And these guys, they were trained in different tacticals. You know, they had some people who were military with them and such, and they would train in ways to patrol at night around New York City and keep people from being victims of crime. And these guys seriously dedicated so many nights a week to just being out there, rain or shine, you know. And that's where it started. It was solely a patrol thing. And these guys, they were so dedicated that they ended up in the HBO documentary. And from there, it took off. And people wanted to join them. And so they got a bunch of people into the New York branch. And from there, they started meeting new people and appointing new branches all over the United States. And we were the third branch to be brought in.
So let me ask you, is this in the legality of this? Is it when these guys started in New York, was it more like a neighborhood watch program, but with a twist? Or when it got to in your neck of the woods, is that where you put the twist on it? But basically it's a neighborhood watch. I mean, that's legally okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What it is it's more of a, I don't know, kind of a a punk neighborhood watch, but I only say punk because the clothes are pretty cool. But they wore costumes in the HBO documentary. They don't wear them out on the street. There's this whole community now. There's a community, yeah, of people called real life superheroes out there. Kick-Ass had something to do with it. You know, everybody wanted to be out there. And exactly. I mean, every time there was a, you know, with the second Kick-Ass, there was a whole influx of new people coming in going, I'm going to fight crime. You know, I am Batman. And the thing that we liked about the initiative, because we could have joined any group, because there are a few groups out there at the time when we joined about 5 years ago, the initiative took their stuff very seriously. They never wore costumes out on the street because you can't really go what we call gray man, which is, for people who aren't familiar with the concept, gray man is where you're trying to just blend in with your environment completely and not stand out at all, and therefore better able to see what's going on. And that's what they wanted to do. They just wanted to blend in, but they wanted to be there, and they helped. I mean, there were muggings in Park Slope, there were, you know, purse snatchings, there were rapes and such, and they actually did their part to be a presence, not so much with costumes on, but just a physical presence.
Yeah.
And things started getting better around the area. I'd like to think they had a lot to do with it.
This actually reminds me a lot of, remember back in the day, the Guardian Angels? Is this a very similar type of group?
Yeah. In fact, you know, a few of people in our California initiative were members of the Guardian Angels before they quit. And I don't know, there was some controversy back with one of the founders, I believe, Curtis Sliwa, where he was sued by the New York Police Department. I think it was New York, that it was proven that he had faked some kidnapping charges against them or something like that.
That's odd.
Yeah, check that out. Look it up sometime. And I thought, wow, that's really kind of sad. They're supposed to be the ones, you know, watching over and. Yeah.
But he faked them. That's kind of like me when I was younger, and me and my buddy, like, we started a little fire and then we walked away and then with a cup of water went and put it out. I mean, is that like what you're saying? Like, he faked crimes so that they could,
Yeah, there was something I was really surprised because I loved what they stood for. You know, I thought it'd be cool to be a guardian angel. But by the time I got into this, I don't even know if they exist anymore here in the Bay Area because you never see them. So it's been years.
Yeah. But you know what? It's not what your name is. It's not what your name is. It's what you do. And it, you know, if
exactly,
if, you know, the initiative is the new Guardian Angels, then that's even, I'd rather be an initiative member than a Guardian Angel anytime.
Yeah. Okay. So, when I first started looking into this, I was like, I'll have to admit, I was like, you know, because I saw the HBO special and I thought some of those guys were kind of funny, you know, I'm just kind of like, and they were showing
like,
videos.
What are you doing?
And they edited, I know they edited it to be entertaining and stuff. So I know there were some scenes in that documentary that were less than flattering, you know, like I think one of the guys was trying to show off his kung fu skills and he's falling down and stuff. And I'm just like, really? So when I was preparing for the show, I was like, let me look into this, you know, a little bit more. And I'm looking into it and I'm like, well, I'm starting to read about all the other stuff that you guys do. You know, I mean, that is sort of like the HBO treatment or the make something interesting, you know, let's pick out the funny bits. But then I'm looking at some of the stuff that you guys do. And I really want to talk about that. I was like, wow, this is actually really, I mean, you guys do a really awesome thing. So like, for example, let's talk about feeding the homeless. So you guys go out of your way to help homeless people. So tell us, like, what do you, I mean, is it like food drives? Is it, I mean, what all do you all do?
We have our week is something like this. Tuesdays, we have our radio show. On Friday nights, we go out and we do our own patrol around the Mission District of San Francisco because it's just been getting out of hand lately. So we go gray man. And then on Sundays, we go on our needle pickups. When we do our needle pickups, we always bring food and water and socks because those are the things that people ask for every single time we're out there. So we have those every week. But on our monthly outreach events, we set up what we call is a free street boutique. So we have all these rolling racks for clothing that we purchased. And Old Navy donated thousands of hangers.
Wow.
And then our friends, yeah, and our friends and families, they donate all the clothes. And what we do is we go set up like at, you know, Civic Center in front of City Hall in San Francisco, or we'll go to Berkeley, a place called People's Park, where there are just tons mm-hmm. of people experiencing homelessness, you know, all at once. And we'll set up the boutique. We'll bring, our big thing is bean and cheese burritos, because oftentimes we try to give out, you know, we used to try to give out sandwiches. A lot of people right. have dental problems. You can eat a soft bean and cheese burrito even with dental problems. So we do them by the hundreds, because really it's not that expensive. We pay for this out of pocket.
Right.
We make like, you know, 200 to 400 burritos, and then we'll get water, and then we'll hang the clothes up, and we allow them to come in and pick up about 5 different items each. We'd give them more, but there's so many people, you want to make sure everybody gets their share.
Right.
So then they can go home with clothing, food, and water, at least, you know, for one more day. So we do that once a month.
That's awesome. That is really, really cool. So I have to ask. So when you have the bean and cheese burritos, right? And I love bean and cheese burritos. I mean, that's a cool thing.
If
I was homeless, I mean, I'd be like, yeah, a sandwich or bean and cheese burrito. Do you have a place to plug in a microwave, or do they eat them cold? Is it okay to eat them cold?
Oh, man.
Or do you heat them up in a tray? Or
we have this whole system. We learned it from our. We have this sister group with, and the fact that they're called the Legacy Initiative had nothing to do with us being called the Initiative. They just, that's what they're called in Utah. And we met at this meetup, this sort of Super Bowl for RLSH, Real Life Superhero Gatherings, once a year at Project Hope. But I'll tell you about that in a minute. But we met them, and they're like the burrito kings. They bring thousands of burritos out. And the way they do it is they get a commercial kitchen, and they, you know, they do an assembly line. They have mm-hmm. people who donate, you know, all their supplies. They have an assembly line. These things are hot, and they're kept in these, you have these warmed up bricks at the bottom of these insulated coolers.
Oh,
yeah, right?
Right. Okay. Right? That's cool. Yeah. I'm getting it. Yeah.
And we just wheel them out. And by the time people get them, they are still, you know, you can open them up, and there's still a little steam coming out of them. They're still warm.
Nice. Yep. Oh man, I bet people's faces light up when you show up with burritos and food, and
it's, you know, a warm meal. Yeah. And honestly, you know, I was homeless for a short time, and I know what it's like. I didn't have a, you know, it's rare you get a hot meal. So for me, I'm going, you know, here, and they don't have to eat it right away. It can last for a while, and you know, they're pretty happy. Just the fact that somebody's talking to them, where usually people don't want to make eye contact because, you know, for whatever reason. So
right.
So, by the way, the people in that documentary, we know almost all of them now. We've met and hung out with all of them. They're nice people, but yeah.
Right.
If you have any questions, just let me know.
So, Mike, did you?
Okay. I was going to ask a question, and I don't. All right. I'm not coming at this from like a cynical perspective. But I work in the drug treatment field as well. So I'm just wondering, and I know that the country tends to send all of their homeless like to California, to San Francisco especially.
Right.
So I do understand, like, taking that all into consideration, I'm wondering, because I think it's different on the East Coast, but like on the West Coast and where you are, how much of it would you say is more of a chosen vagrancy, or I guess no, not a chosen vagrancy, like a either just a complete drug issue versus the other was, what is it, I don't know what the percentages would be, addicted and or mentally ill, that, you know, just can't live in any other way, versus I guess people who are just down on their luck and hopefully will be able to move on to something. I mean, like you were saying, like yourself, temporarily, you being in this situation and for so long, what is your breakdown, just in your anecdotal experience, what is the breakdown in that?
I would say, and that's a good question, because, you know, people tend to turn a blind eye because they think they want to be homeless. They want to, you know, they want to be out there. That's true for a lot of them. They're when we're out there, if we see maybe 30 to 40 people during our needle pickups, I would say a good 50% are have you can tell they have mental health issues and that they choose to not be in the shelters. Well, right now we have a problem with the shelters anyway. I wish I had the stats in front of me, but it's ridiculous how much of a waiting period there is right now for beds at shelters.
Sure.
But
Oh, iron nail.
with that, they still at least 50% are have mental health issues. So yeah, they
And
choose
that
to not.
checks out. That checks out with a lot of the reading that I've done. My family, the family business is assisted living, and they have a lot of mentally ill people, and a good chunk of them, not most of them, a chunk of them have come from living on the streets and have come into the system, and they provided them a home. These are people that, they say, well, why don't you get a job? Why don't you work? He's like, well, what you don't understand is a lot of people. So if you take somebody who's too mentally ill to actually hold a job, they've got, their mental illness keeps them from being able to talk to people in a proper fashion. Like, you wouldn't want them running your store. You wouldn't want them waiting on your food, what do you think happens to them? Do you think they just magically have a, like they're just gonna magically be taken care of? And the state has defunded a good portion of their
Exactly.
mental illness treatment. A lot of the institutions have closed. They've moved it into the private sector, and then some of these people fall through the cracks. And there's no one to like keep up with them or to just, hey, this person got an institution, they went to this program, but then they just disappeared. It's like, oh, there's no one going and tracking that person down. So, and then as new people get, introduced into it, like every day someone has mental illness problems or somebody new has mental illness problems. They graduate from high school or their parents die or whatever, and they wind up on the street. And there's no watchdog. There's no magical entity that is just watching out for these people. They just wind up where they wind up, and
Yep.
they don't have anything to turn to. And then, there are things, they'll say, oh, well, there's things they could do. There's system, they could go through this. It's like, what you're missing is that they're mentally ill. How are they going to go through the system? What, they're going to go someplace and fill out paperwork? It's, well, if they don't have their stuff together, they don't have their mental facilities, they can't fill out this paperwork. You're missing the big piece of the puzzle. They have to go to an agency. Where's that agency? I don't know where it is. And if I don't know where one is, do you think somebody who's mentally ill could go find one easily? So yeah.
I think that's
And you,
and it's
that's
oh,
it.
I think it speaks a lot of what you're doing, Roxanne, which is you're actually going out into the community. And I'm sure that there's a lot. It's not just you're giving out burritos and you're picking up needles. I'm sure the interaction. Okay, tell me, on average, when are you going to, or how many times have you been able to at least, give someone some advice where they were like, oh my gosh, yes, or help someone along to where they now don't have to be there. You know what I mean? You are making a difference. It's not just that you're giving burritos out, I'm sure. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, but.
I used to, well, we would, I'm backing up. You guys summed it up perfectly because people are going, where do all these homeless come from? Why am I noticing them more now than I did, say, how many years ago? And you're right, these institutions close. So when people say, what would you do if you could change it? I'd get these guys back to where they can get professional help, to where they're comfortable with people who are trained, to help them live each day, as they should be, so that is the problem. You let them all out on the street, and these poor guys, like you said, they could barely function in society, and now they have to function out on the street. So when we go out there, when I first started going out there, which was almost 6 years ago, 5.5 years ago, I always felt defeated. I felt like we were putting a freaking band-aid on this just gaping wound. And especially when we went down to we did a homeless outreach down in Skid Row in LA, and I've never seen they have the largest population of homeless in the country with anything from 3 to 11,000 on any given day just down. It's right. We gave out food. We had hundreds and hundreds of burritos. I swear to God, we were swarmed like a zombie invasion. I'm not even kidding. They were coming, they were climbing on the truck, and it was scary for a second. But yeah. But everybody wanted some food, So and that was that night I went, God, we're not helping. And somebody went, you talk to that person, you hug to that lady. You can't discount that. You can't say that you didn't do anything. You can't say that you gave somebody maybe a little more hope that not everybody's pissing on them or doesn't give a damn about them. Somebody cared. So But during our week, we try to do what we can. We don't want to just give them food and leave them. Give them a cab ride to family, or if we can get them, you know, just anywhere other than where they are right there, if there's anything we can do. But mostly, they just want someone to talk to.
Yep.
So, right. Yeah.
And you know what? There is a fine line, but it is still a line between enabling somebody and just being there and helping, and you know, even just for a minute. And I'm reminded of, I don't want to call it a parable, but that story of the girl walking along the beach. I know you know this story I'm telling about, right?
Yeah.
The girl who walks along the beach and picking up the oysters and throwing them back into the water, or I forgot what it was, throwing them back into the water. And she's been doing it, and she comes to an old man who says, you know, why are you doing that? You know, you look at all these clams on the beach, you're not going to save them all. And she said, but I saved that one. You know,
right.
No. That's exactly it.
It's like, it's not going to make a difference to all these oysters, but it's made a difference to that one, and it made a difference to that one.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, Mike. There is a psychological thing. I was reading this book called Made to Stick many years ago, and they were talking about what they call sticky ideas. So ideas that stick around, you know, like parables are sticky ideas. You know, you remember them, they hang on. And it's one of the things that these agencies that try to help out at, like, say, African children who are starving or whatever. And they found that their donations went up when they personalized it. Mm-hmm. So when people feel like they're trying to save an entire country and it seems hopeless, they don't tend to give any money because they feel like they're wasting their money because it's hopeless. But then when they say, you can help this child,
yeah,
and they personalize
cents.
It, so you feel like you're helping the one, donations went way up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that, you know, you're helping out everybody as much as you can, but you're helping out one person at a time. It seems like, you know, if people felt like they were helping out one person at a time, you know, that it would be more... I don't know. You would get more reaction,
right?
But it seems like that insurmountable problem. Like, we can't do anything because we can't do everything. It's like, no, that's not true. You can't do everything, but you can do something.
But I'm just one guy.
Right. I'm just one guy. Right. Right.
That's almost as bad as not in my backyard. Right.
So here's this is the point I want to come to is that, you know. The reason why you guys, from what I'm reading, the reason why you guys like to dress up in your superhero garb is that it calls attention to the thing, because, like you said, you know, Gray Man doesn't put any eyeballs on the situation. But all of a sudden somebody says, hey, there's somebody dressed up in a funny outfit helping these people out. But they remember that, you know, and they see it. It gets visibility.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've worked in soup kitchens for years. Nobody gave a damn. Nobody put a mic, you know, to your face until you wore a mask or a cape one day. And then everybody's going, what are you doing? And then they want to join because, you know, superheroes are the thing right now.
Oh,
I don't know one person that I hang out with that doesn't love everything that's going on in the Marvel universe right now.
Right.
So, you know, everybody wants to be a superhero if you haven't already wanted to be when you were a child. So this is your chance. And if you want to reinvent yourself too, this is a chance to maybe be the better version of you, you know, that you were. So the masks and the costumes, oh my God, when we wear them out, we'll do them for our once a month outreach. We're going, wear your whatever costume you want. Everybody swarms. Go, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're doing this thing, you know, and and then they join us. So I love it. It's a light. Come on over here, you know.
Right.
All right. So what do you wear? Yeah. Give us some ideas of some costumes you wear.
Now, see, me, I okay, I teach free self-defense.
How do we not have pictures ready to go? How do we not have
pictures? I should have pictures. Oh, you know.
Well, Mike, I think image two is a picture of Roxanne in her getup.
Oh, well.
You got it? Yeah.
That is
it. Our audience can see it.
No, but I think
turned up our group. There you go.
So that was something we took the other night. We're doing a calendar for it's a fundraising calendar. But and this is me with my husband, because he's the big geek that got me into this in the first place.
Oh, it's always some guy.
Can you guys see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. What do we got? Yeah. What is?
Oh, okay. He's the guy. Oh, so I saw the video where you guys you did the ice bucket challenge, but it's more like the pie in the face challenge.
Oh yeah.
And he had the mask on. Okay. Right. Right.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he's got like the most iconic mask in the real life superhero community right now. It's he's called Nightbug.
Okay.
I know he's listening right now, but he knows I wasn't really crazy about that. He's a Spider-Man freak. I mean, ever since he was a little kid. But so that was as close as he could get without, so.
Right. Right.
But the mask is awesome. I love the mask. We're going to have to leave that mask on sometime. But
oh, dear.
So I also saw you are, a bit of the, what martial art did you study?
There's a mixture. This one's called Bakfu. So it incorporates five different styles: Kung Fu, Karate, Taekwondo, Aikido, and Jiu-Jitsu.
Wow.
And then we're also studying Krav Maga. So because we've been studying Bakfu for over 20 years, my husband and I, and we teach. So, but we never studied Krav Maga. So we started studying that so that we could get a really nice mixture. When we teach our, we started teaching in the LGBT center in San Francisco because the rate of LGBT youth that were getting beat down in San Francisco was just, it was unacceptable. So
Any of it's unacceptable.
Anywhere. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. So we teach them every Saturday, and then it just spread to whoever. I mean, if you got three people, we'll go to you and give you a 2-hour seminar. And from what we keep hearing from our students, we just did St. Mary's, a whole group of youth got us to come out there for their Founders Day and teach a 3-hour seminar. So, we're trying to stop crime that way too, to make you not be there,
Right.
Best defense, no be there.
Roxanne, is there anything else that you're doing that makes me and Pete feel completely inferior and like lazy bastards? Because I can speak for both of us. I mean, me so probably. Well, you know what? I took a walk around the lake today. So, but I mean, other than that, I'm a lazy, worthless.
I've been doing CrossFit.
I know. That's what I was. Well, that's why I said,
But that only helps me.
Right.
No, I mean,
so for the community.
You know what? You know, Mike, I think we do something for the community. I mean, look what we're doing right now. We do our own outreach.
Right.
We do a public
service.
We
show the world what other people do that's awesome.
Right. Hey, that's important. We're getting the message out.
That's our niche.
You guys are so fun. Your tagline alone, the sarcastic, you're doing it. So you're making, I need to laugh. This shit is just so, when you're out there picking up needles and you just see the worst of everything. Mm-hmm. So anybody who can make me laugh, you guys are my heroes because I need that. Otherwise, I'm hanging it up, giving it, So yeah, you guys are absolutely doing a public service.
Oh, hear good. That, well, Pete? Thank you.
We're heroes.
Hey, Mike, I got a message in the chat room there that says they're having problems with the stream. How's our stream? Is the feed good?
I don't know. It looks.
Can you check? just real quick. I'm sorry. This is a technical.
Actually,
thing.
It says it's
just
good.
Just because we're live. Huh?
It says it. I mean, it says the stream status is good. Ain't my fault if his internet is buffering.
Right.
Okay. All right. Just
tell him.
Sure. Just
David, hit pause and then hit play. I don't know what to
all
tell
right.
you.
I'm gonna say in the chat room, y'all, hit. Pause and
pause for the cause.
We're showing a good stream. Right. Okay,
Mike has a good, strong, healthy stream for once.
All right, Mike's got a nice, healthy stream for once. Sounds good. At your age, Mike, you'll take what you can get. Right?
I'll take what I can get. Oi. Oi. Tell
right,
you,
so,
I buffer all the time over the toilet. Oh yeah, yeah.
Buffer. So in all reality, so when you guys have done your patrol, when you've done patrols at night, and you're doing neighborhood watch type stuff, have you ever actually had to intervene on crimes, or have you ever had an incident that was a little hairy? Because I mean, you're out there doing that, so what's the worst thing you've run into? Like, has it gotten scary? It's gotten really scary.
It gets scary. Yeah. We've had people come up and we stopped people from, there was a robbery suspect that I teach my kids good positioning and awareness. Now I'm not going to get too close to someone who has a gun That's bad positioning.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
we follow them though at a distance, and we stay in touch with the police because that's basically what we are. We're a second set of eyes and ears for them. We don't freaking think we're Superman. We know we're not bulletproof.
Right.
So you know, if I'm sorry, but I practice personal safety first, scene safety.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if we can intervene. But yeah, we've helped stop robberies. We've stopped vandals several times. People have come up to us really drugged out and just when we were picking up needles, this is during the day, and we're sure that we were with the feds or something. So when they do that and they want to get violent, you know, we just, hey, it's your alley. We're out of here. We're going to back up.
Right.
There are things that we've been involved in that this sucks. I'm sorry, but there are things that I can't talk about, but things that we do that we don't talk about because
fine.
Yeah, you know.
That's fine.
But
we can't let the terrorists know what we're doing, because if we do, then they'll know what we're doing.
They know what we're doing.
Right. And then the terrorists going to know how we do what we do.
Exactly. Right. He's got it.
Right.
But yeah, so every time we go out there, we've had, you know, you got to break up the occasional. Basically, when you're going out there, you want to help walk women home who are alone trying to get home, because that's when things really go badly, is when someone spots a lone person. So
yeah. And also, you know what, nothing has to be inherently dangerous in of a situation. And you're absolutely right, if you see just a woman or a man, whoever, just walking home or walking somewhere by themselves, why not just walk along with them? Of course, then that might freak them out, you know what I mean? It's like, hey, you know, I'm in a superhero suit, can I walk you home? You're like, no, get the fuck away from me.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's...
So what we'll do is we'll keep a distance, and we'll just chat amongst ourselves, like, oh yeah, we're kind of walking this way too. And the fact that there's a female, they don't feel as threatened.
Right.
They're going, oh, they're talking to another girl. It's you know, they're fine. So,
why is this guy in a ball game? Following me.
I've been beaten up by a woman in kung fu class, so you know I could be scared of women.
That's true.
Woman.
So sexist. Yeah.
No, woman. I'm just so messing with you. But it is true. I did get my ass whipped a couple times in sparring class.
That you got your ass whipped.
He got his ass.
They were better.
You know what else we try to do is we try to teach. We're members of, we took Citizens Police Academy, which is why, like I said, I love the initiative. Of course, I'm the pro initiative. You know, I had to ink it. But I love them because we will go and learn what we can. We're members of the community emergency response training team. Hmm. So just the other day, we helped locate a missing 89-year-old man with dementia. Yeah, he had wandered over, just gone overnight. He was found 12 miles from his home, but we answered the CERT alert. It's almost like a bat call, you know, bat phone. And we gathered and just, I got blisters from walking with them, trying to, you know, check everywhere we could to find this guy. And he was found safe and sound. So we teach, in case anybody's interested or is listening, we teach also emergency prep classes. Because we have CERT trainers in part of our team, and we'll teach you how to make a bug out bag, you know, and things like that. So,
oh, cool. All right.
Yeah, really. There's so many of us in different states that all you have to do is just check out our website and we're right there. But can I mention two things?
Sure.
Okay. Please.
They'd kill me if I didn't, for one thing. There's Project Hope, which is, like I was talking about, the real life superhero Super Bowl, you know, type. It's not as far as sports, but it's a gathering once a year of real life superheroes in San Diego during Comic-Con. And the reason we do it during Comic-Con weekend is because that's where they tend to push the homeless. They want them to get the hell out of eyesight.
Yeah.
You know, all the tourists come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys are just totally displaced.
Wars opening, right?
Right. So what we do is, that's when we get the Legacy Initiative, our sister group in Utah, and we meet up with a guy called Razorhawk, who is organized. Razorhawk and the guy from the superheroes documentary that you watched, Mr. Extreme.
What's
that guy,
up, Razorhawk?
I gotta tell you.
What's up, Mr. Extreme?
He's the most magnanimous person you will ever meet.
You have branches. There's branches all over, right?
Yeah.
So what areas do we have branches in?
We have Washington, we have California, northern and southern. We have Illinois, Boston, Tennessee, New York, and oh my gosh, the UK and Virginia right now.
Okay. Oh, Virginia. That's near. So wait a minute. So not Washington, D.C., right? Washington
Washington State, yeah.
on the left
Way up
coast.
on the left
Right.
coast.
Right. Okay. Virginia, that's near us. Now, what about D.C. or Baltimore? Baltimore could use something like this big time.
Oh my God, Maryland absolutely could use some. We're always recruiting.
Right.
So if somebody's interested, we there are some groups that'll take anybody, and you should, but I also believe that you should have a place for everybody because you're not necessarily going to want someone out on nighttime patrol with you who has absolutely no training or no concept of situational awareness or anything else. So obviously they can help in another section. So we take anybody. But we'll make sure that you're where you want to be and you're happiest. So
Right.
anybody, come on, guys.
Right.
Yeah, I would be
Okay.
very, I'd be very scared. It, certain areas in Baltimore City. I don't know if it would. I mean, it's got to be like that in some places, even in San Francisco. There's got to be some
Oh my
areas
God,
where you're like,
yeah.
you know what? We're not going to go here. We want to make a difference, but not like kill ourselves.
Exactly. Oakland. There are parts of Oakland where you have to really be careful, and definitely parts of San Francisco, God, that you're stupid if you go there without Kevlar
Yeah.
or
Right.
even just being there. You're not a cop. You're not getting paid hazard pay, so forget it. Just let them do it.
Right. Yeah, when I was doing, we were doing some surveys in the city when I work in engineering, so we were doing pipeline surveys in the city. There were sections we didn't go into certain times of the day because, here we show up in a truck, right? We get out of the truck and we're doing measuring stuff. And I remember I wasn't even look I knew what was going on. I saw this guy on the corner. And he's doing the handoff of drugs with people, right? And I'm basically just not even paying attention to him. I'm rolling my wheel, taking a measurement. I'm like, I don't see you. I don't care. Do what you got to do. Hey man, I'm just doing my job, right?
Rooty doot doot
And
toot,
he,
scooty doot.
right. And he looks over at me and he's like, you all need to get out of here. I was like, I'm rolling this way
I'm
now.
out of here.
And
Exactly.
I went and got in the truck. I was like, we're done. Let's go.
Yeah. Seriously, we don't get paid enough for this, so we're
Right.
out. It's
Oh yeah.
their area. They know it. They don't want you there. Just bounce, swerve.
Swerve.
Right. Swerve. I'm a swerve. I'm ghosting. I'm ghosting.
There you go,
I ain't even
ghosting.
saying bye.
That's why you say bye, Felicia.
Right for bye, Felicia. Hey, let's
See,
get
I
this
learned
truck.
something.
Let's get this truck turned up and ghost out of
Oh
here.
my God. See, that was on fleek.
That was
Okay.
on fleek. Damn. No,
Damn.
we're gonna be modern here.
And there you just lost half your audience. You're going, okay, we're done.
All right. So, all right. So, if people want to recruit, if people want to join and want to form their group, where, who do they, how do they do this? They go to the initiative.
Oh yeah, our
Okay.
website's so easy. Initiativecollective.com. And
Okay.
that's where we all are. I mean, we're all over Facebook too. If you look for California Initiative, Virginia Initiative, just type in a city and initiative. One of the ones I mentioned, and you'll find us. So we're so easy to contact, and our response rate is so we're quick with responses. But
Okay.
one thing I wanted to say, because I was going to say that they will kill me if I don't put a plug in, is for that once a year meetup in San Diego during Comic-Con weekend, because I was saying that they push all the homeless out during Comic-Con weekend because they don't want the tourists to see that.
Project Hope, right? Is that the
So
one?
yeah, right.
Okay.
So they feel. I think that's the worst time for homeless out in San Diego, and that's when we go out and we have our costumes on for that because they're used to people in costumes during Comic-Con weekend,
Right.
and believe it or not, they're more receptive to people in costumes walking up and handing them food. And what we do for Project Hope, which was put together by Mr. Extreme. From the HBO documentary, wonderful guy, I love him. And Razorhawk, this guy from Minnesota who's been doing this now, this is our sixth year For half a year, we gather up sleeping bags, backpacks, toiletries, food, water, hats, you know, anything that can help them out there in the San Diego sun. And we bring it all to Project Hope. That's what this is called. Out in San Diego, we go and put it all together in a parking lot. And we all go out in our costumes. And for 3 or 4 hours, we go and we seek out the homeless population. And we hand them these backpacks and sleeping bags and such. That's happening Comic-Con weekend. So anyone who wants to join us, all you have to do is look for Project Hope for RLSH. Project Hope for RLSH on Facebook. And mm-hmm. it'll take you right there. It'll show you pictures. It'll tell you what to expect, what to do. You don't have to bring anything but yourself. And I promise you, you do this one time and you'll get hooked, because there's this kindness that's really hard to find anywhere else during that day. And suddenly you feel like you've met old friends, and you keep the connection 6 years later. And I'm can't wait for the next one. So Comic-Con weekend, July 23rd, Project Hope.
So I have an idea. I'm gonna channel this guy I used to work with. Okay, so I used to work with this guy. He wasn't too bright. I'm gonna channel him right now. Like, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you give the homeless people superhero costumes and take them to Comic-Con?
You know what?
And that then they won't kick them out because they'll think they're cosplayers. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? That would be fantastic if we could get into Comic-Con.
Yeah. Right. I'll ticket money for a ticket.
Do you know I've never been inside? Well, we were there for we were actually invited in for the premiere of the Superheroes documentary that year.
Right.
Then we got to be there for the screening. They got to ask us, you know, there was a Q&A afterwards. Other than that, I've never been able to get a freaking ticket. So, yeah, you know.
We're waiting for our invite. I mean, we're celebrities, right, Mike? I mean, we're just,
we're celebrities, Ari. We're comedy. How idiots don't run a podcast.
Right.
How idiots do not broadcast their That's us.
The Comic-Con, we're off fleek.
Yeah, we on Fleek Street.
No, hey, you know, to be honest, though, I mean, to be fair to us, normally people who do shows, they have an engineer, right, who does all the stuff. We have to do everything and be entertaining and write material and do research and. That's what I need. I need a shirt with just and symbols on it, you know.
Yeah.
What do you do?
And. Everything. I like a guy with like 50 hats on. That's me.
Right. I'm the hat guy. All right. So, hey, let's wrap this up real quick. So let's go through the links. Let's go through the where we can find you links. So we have the Initiative Collective. That's the go-to place.
Right.
.com.
Right.
And then for Facebook, you can go to / New York Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And it just New York. There's not a San Diego or just a – is there different ones or?
There's California Initiative.
Okay.
So, you know, there's Boston Initiative. There's Memphis Initiative. And you know, you can just enter the initiative in your Facebook search bar, and it'll bring us up.
Okay. So, good.
And then link it to everybody.
And we can find you on Twitter at @rockandrollx_ALT.
Yeah.
And you have a YouTube channel, but I'm not going to read that because it has a lot of stuff. It's in the link down in our notes. Yeah. Or you can just type in, you know, Rock and Roll Initiative, I guess, or something in YouTube, and you'll come up.
I have my own website. It's iamrockandroll.com.
Okay. That's right. And then you have blogtalkradio.com/heroes101, which I guess you go on and talk about your work.
We have guests that come on. Our motto is to help people live a happier, safer, healthier life. And we've had like Mark McYoung come on to talk about self-defense, or we've had Chase Masterson from Deep Space Nine came on. Okay. She started an anti-bullying campaign, and we're like, yeah, we're on board with that. So it's fantastic.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And,
One quick question. All this talk, all these links and everything else. And I have not heard one thing, and I'll bet you you're going to say, no, we don't have anything. If anyone wanted to donate money to the initiative for your particular group, for, you know, actually helping you guys hand out clothing and bean and cheese burritos, where where can we go? Come on, let's hear it. Come on.
God.
We don't have anything.
HopeSyndicate.com.
What?
They have, they have a button for the, for Project Hope. So,
all right.
Yeah.
You need to. You know what you guys need to do? You need to start a Patreon.
Yes. Have you guys considered that?
Everybody says we got to do that. We absolutely.
I bet your Patreon would actually do very well. This, to me, this sounds like something that is prime for a very good, very successful Patreon.
See, you know what? We have to now because everyone keeps telling us that. And so we're lagging on our part. Okay. Tonight, after I get done with you guys, guess who's going to start researching Patreon?
Yes. It's real easy. Patreon.com. Go there. Check it out. You should start one. We would start one, but ours is not really prime for, like, you know, making.
No, we're not doing anything.
You guys actually do something.
Tonight, we're not even putting a fucking product out. So, we, whatever.
You know, Mike's got that awesome TARDIS exploding picture thingy behind him. So
and I think, like, our backgrounds are very condiment-y. You know, like, really? I'm representing mustard, and you are representing ketchup, and there's Pete representing just plain old mayonnaise, but whatever.
Right. Now, my office is actually, usually I got a really cool, like, office set up behind me. I set my office up like a studio so that it'd present well on camera.
Nice.
But I'm not there.
You're traveling right now.
Yeah, right. I won't be traveling.
Is that a Pollock? Is that a Pollock behind you in the hotel room? No. Okay.
Is that what? No. All right then. All right. Well, Mike, let's wrap it up. Let's
wrap it up. We'll pretend we're wrapping it up. No.
All right.
We are definitely recording anyway, so we are wrapping this up. Wrapping it up.
Okay. You just enjoyed another awesome episode of the Mythwits. At least we hope you have. A special thanks goes out to our guest, Rock and Roll. Make sure to check out the Real Life Superheroes, the Hero Initiative. Join us for a live broadcast every week, Mondays at 9:30 p.m. That's if we actually broadcast.
Or don't.
Eastern time. To catch the full show, jump into the chat room and ask our guests questions. We had people in the chat room.
Yeah.
They asked questions.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
Where the hell are
where
you?
Where are you? Oh, God.
But you can always catch the Encore episodes. Hopefully this will be one of them. And the podcast version at our website and on iTunes. You can find our website at mythwits.com. And you can visit us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Do the like, follow, subscribe thing wherever it's appropriate. Please give us comments and links and stars and all that good stuff. Mythwits is to 187.com production when it's being produced and is protected under a Creative Commons license. You can download and share with whoever you like. Just don't change it and don't try to make money with it. Make sure to check out stu187.com for more cool stuff and join our mailing list. Our live episodes are edited into bite-sized bits and released on the following week. Following week, right, Mike? Following week.
Hey. Following some week, following the week that it was done, it's a lot of time follows other times.
Interviews are on Mondays. At least I backdate them that way. Misfits on Wednesdays and Game Time on Fridays. Thanks everybody for listening, especially since you didn't listen to this one live. Tell your friends to tune in when we actually broadcast. And until next week, Mike.
Hey, Mom. Bye, Felicia.